Nation with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 149. I'm Adam, and I haven't called anybody yet because I thought I'd approach this in a slightly different way. Just a minute ago, I was just minding my own business, as you do, just preparing things for the podcast, booting up computers, etc., and a call came through on Alicia's computer, which doesn't work properly, and I noticed a few familiar faces, that'd be Robert and Reese, and a couple of unfamiliar faces, in shape of Sandro, and, oh dear, I've forgotten the other chat. So I tried answering the call, couldn't answer it, and then ended up having a conversation with them on Skype. So I'm sure Reese will plug that podcast later on in the show. Now, I haven't called the others yet because I just thought it'd be fun to sort of see how things would pan out if we did it this way. So I think we'll try see if... I do hope they're not still tied up with the podcast they were doing. They're actually ready to record this one, but we'll give it a go. Right, how do you get onto contacts here? Oh, no, I've clicked the wrong thing. Oh, good Lord. Ah, yeah. So I don't get flustered whilst recording the show. Let's try Reese first. See what happens. Okay, it's ringing. Oh, he's there. Hello, Reese.
I am. Hello.
Hello. Have you finished?
Yes.
And how long have you been podcasting for so far?
Well, we did have a few breaks in between because we record different sections, but probably about an hour and a half.
As podcast listeners, this is Reese Parton of the Who is the Man podcast, and the podcast of which I did forget the name of, and so I apologise to Josh because I've forgotten his name. What was the podcast I ended up on inadvertently?
The Improbable Podcast.
And it was very improbable.
Indeed. It was.
All right, let's see if we can find somebody else in the... in the cyber airwaves. I wonder if he's up. Robert's there. Let's see what happens if I add him. Hang on, I've just clicked on send. It doesn't normally... because I had send contacts. Add people I should have clicked on. I haven't been doing this for 2 years at all. Yeah, it's terrible. Right. Robert Haynes, here he is. Let's see if I can find anybody else. That's about it, because there won't be any Mary this week, listeners. Yeah, that's what everybody... All the listeners are saying they've all turned off. Maybe I should just save that to the end of the show. Oh, there will be a bit of Mary. I'm sorry, there is... It's a bit of... they can't speak. There is a bit of Mary later on in the show, but a recorded bit.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
I was going to say, were you going to mention that she added someone to the Facebook group?
I did, because someone dropped out, so we've still got the same amount we had last week. Trying to make a mention of the person that she added. I don't know who dropped out, but hello, Robert.
Hello, I haven't dropped out, have I?
No, no. I'm sure you will.
Hey, does this headset sound okay?
Yeah.
Does it sound better than the other one?
Yeah.
Well, we can't hear any fans, so...
Well, I haven't got the fan on at the moment. I haven't got the fan on at the moment.
Oh, okay.
But does it sound okay, though? And I did listen, so, as I said, otherwise I wouldn't know about all that farting that was going on.
That was subliminal messages.
Subliminal? They're pretty overt subliminal messages.
I don't know what you're referring to, but to have
I tell you what, Adam,
yes, what
if I let my wife listen to that, she'll say that you're worse than me.
That was only on one occasion, I hasten to point out, Robert. In the old days of this podcast, it was always Alicia who was the one that used to break wind on the show.
Yes, that's true.
And magic, for that matter. I will be steering clear of Doritos for a couple of days before we record, at least.
What flavor
were they? Oh, all sorts of flavours. But, right. Anyway, right.
There's Kirby.
I said, no, I did hear the first time. Blimmin' death. Sorry, I've just
Sometimes it seems like you are.
I've just been getting wound up by teenagers and dogs this morning.
Why?
Oh, Alicia's a nightmare. She's a teenager, and she's I'm the big baddie. I am the master in the house in relation to Alicia.
Obviously,
duh.
And the dog sort of just jumps up, you know, out of the blue and tries to get tangled up with my wires, and of course you know what happens with that. When he gets tangled up with my wires, my audio stops recording, so that causes me stress. Anyway, right. I don't know if you're aware that I actually started recording for about a minute before I started picking you lot up on Skype, just for a bit of variety. That's the way I felt like this morning. I thought, let's introduce the podcast without you lot, and just sort of that. I'm rambling, aren't I?
Yes.
Maybe.
I mean, no.
Yes. I was trying to think of how, because we normally introduce ourselves with strange little quotes from the programme that we've just watched, Waters of Mars. So let's go on
we
then.
Do?
Yeah, we do. Go on then, Kirby, as you were last on. This is Kirby Butler Sloan, listeners. Obviously, it was just a load of silence. Is that to indicate the death of people? That they're just sort of...
I really should go.
What? What do you mean? Where's... Will you cut that donkey noise out, please?
That's not a donkey.
What is that?
Oh.
You know the Tusken Raider from Star Wars?
Oh, right. No. Okay, Reese, Mr. Reese Parton, everybody. Oh, sorry, Kirby, we're going to do another one.
Get it.
No. One each. One each. That's very naughty. Right then. Reese.
That's two from both of you.
That's not in the show.
No, I do it again.
Reese. God, Robert. What's that got to do with it?
Nothing.
My childish glee at a special that is actually, well, wasn't really that special, but...
Hang on, we don't talk about what it was like until we talked about it.
I actually looked forward to watching this week.
You did?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Like you should have done last week.
Yes, it would have been good. Well, yes.
Yeah, I
forgot.
It would
have been good to have looked forward to.
I will say, I did actually forget the line I picked up from it, but I'll try and remember it later on, and then I'll introduce myself in the middle of the episode. So I did think I should have written it down, really, shouldn't I?
Is it one of my favourite lines?
I'll be quiet. Anyway.
Say your one again, Reese.
Hang on, I've got to get my water bottle. Yeah. No, I'll say my favourite line later.
You're drowning live on the podcast. Oh, pardon me. Sorry, it's coming out the other end now.
What?
Helpful burble.
Are you getting told off, Robert?
No, that wasn't me. That was James.
James getting told off.
Yes.
Go out. I'm telling you. Oh, there goes the clock. It must be 11 o'clock. It must be time to record the show.
It's the 11 o'clock.
Right then, the Waters of Mars. We'd be talking about all the other stuff I've got to talk about later on, if I can remember what I've got to talk about. I'm sure I will, but here we go. It's Waters of Mars. What do you mean, is it? It starts off, and you think there's a slight problem with your picture, because it all goes a bit snowy and, you know, the picture goes a bit funny. And then we realise we're actually watching a Skype-y recording message. I think it's a recording, isn't it?
Oh, no.
Oh, it's actual Skype. It's actual Skype.
No.
What?
Skype's not like that. Skype couldn't Skype to bloody Mars.
Yes, but it could in 2059.
2059.
It's not Skype because you can't have real time. Mars is too far away.
Yes. Oh, God. Yes, but this is 2059. They might be able to boost the signal to one of those Star Trek subspace things. Tell you what.
You cannot break the laws of physics.
I'll be quiet. Yes. Is that your Scottish accent? Yeah. It was better than James Doohan's. It's definitely better than James Doohan's. So well done, Kirby. Not as good as David Tennant. Oh, sure, he is Scottish, isn't he? Anyway, right, I just want to say the opening shot. The opening shot of the TARDIS materialising on the surface of Mars looked absolutely superb, didn't it?
Yes.
I know that it's all special effects, but it did. You could actually look at that and say, oh, that's not the surface of Mars. It's there. They went to Mars to film some sort of external shots on this episode of Doctor Who.
Looked like a quarry to me.
Yeah, yeah,
you're, we're all just picky, aren't you?
Yeah, it's only the bit of the quarrel.
We've had a few issues with spacesuits in Doctor Who recently. What do we reckon of Yuri? Is it Yuri? Yeah, it is Yuri. What do we reckon of Yuri's spacesuit?
It was okay.
What about it?
Yeah, what do you think of it in relation to, as it compares with the other spacesuits we've seen in the new era of Doctor Who?
I didn't think much about it.
You know, if
the other spacesuits we've seen are kind of, obviously the one the Doctor's wearing, which is from the Satan Pit, but the other one we saw was Rivers and the team in the library, and that was even further in the future, so they're probably more compact. So I've got no problem with any of them, personally.
Okay.
What about it?
Well, no, I was just saying, because we've had some issues with spacesuits and them not looking particularly good. In fact, you yourself were the one, I believe, that actually brought up the subject of the naff-looking spacesuits.
There were vents in or something on them in
I'm more bothered by the fact that there's always the light inside so you can see the actor.
Yes, yes. But that wasn't in Yuri's one, I believe.
No, because the faceplate is so huge.
Yeah. And it looked really weird for me. Sorry?
And there was a good thing that there was no license plates on any of the things.
gadget.
Yeah. I'll tell you what was a good thing in relation, well, an interesting thing in relation to the spacesuits was the fact that when Yuri turned his head, obviously the head bit stayed still. And it looked a bit weird. His head looked really small. I mean, exceptionally small inside the spacesuit. Anyway, so the Doctor gets arrested by Gadget. Still annoying. But
Gadget is the only problem I have with this story.
But he is rather essential to the plot. But I didn't need to say Gadget. I know they'd put that in there for a joke.
It's funny,
is it? You just said that's the only thing you've got a problem
with.
I was quoting.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that funny. What
Roman said. Was it Roman?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then after we get the not threatening gadget, we get the title secrets, and then after that we have Adelaide Brooke pointing a gun at the Doctor and saying, "State your name, rank, and intention," and the Doctor says, "The Doctor, Fun."
Now that was the bit I wanted to actually answer. Yeah. I forgot it, but that's one of my favourite lines.
I loved that. Yes. I quote that all the time just to sum up the character of the Doctor, because that's what he is. He's after the fun in the universe.
I mean, this is there's some quite interesting things about this particular episode, because it starts off with the Doctor and most of the episode being himself, and then suddenly he just goes completely insane. But we'll talk about that later, because most of the episode is just his normal self, because that's him, isn't it? The Doctor Fun, that's the sort of thing any of the incarnations of the Doctor probably would have said, apart from maybe the first. So we quickly see a couple of lovely carrots, and obviously Andy, whatever his name is, decides to eat one of the carrots. And Susie eats, oh no, he washes the carrot in water, doesn't he? And it's the water.
It was touching water.
Yeah. Very quickly changes.
Have any of you heard of Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall?
Who?
Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall.
New.
He's a TV personality and a bit of a gardener.
What?
Oh, is that the guy with the big beard and that?
No, he hasn't got a big beard, but he's a TV personality in the UK and he gardens a lot. And this guy just looks a bit like him. I'm sure they cast him as the gardener on this ship or whatever, the base, because he looks like him.
Okay. But anyway.
One of the things about casting this guy is he finally got to show his face. For the first time after being in many, many episodes.
Yeah.
He's the other main guy who tends to be inside of things like Autons, and he was inside the android, he was in the forest of, he was loot of the forest of Chain, and all kinds of things like that.
Cool.
He was one of the Slitheens.
Yeah. Thank you. No need for that. Anyway, right. Can I just say? The bit where she's sort of like in the foreground and he's in the background and he's changing. That's really creepy when you see it over his shoulder. And then it's really actually very scary when he turns around and you see his face. Even though having watched it a few times or a couple of times, and I know it's coming, I still think that's really, really scary.
I completely agree.
I find that more scary.
One of the scariest episodes.
I find that particular shot more scarier than any of the blink bits, although those are creepy. That is generally really scary.
Actually, I do think if they hadn't shown the monsters in the trailer, that we would have had a blink moment, because we don't know what they're doing, and then he just turns around with that face, which is terrifying.
Yes.
And we'd have had the same sort of effect, but we saw it in the trailer, so at the time it had a bit of
six months before.
Yeah, I still thought it was scary. The way they shot it and built up to it in that scene, I just thought that was terrifying. Magic has just farted, and that's you completely stunk the room out. Thanks, Magic. Or at least I think it's Magic. Where's Star? Could be Star, actually. She's closer to me. But yeah, we're back to Doctor Who. The other thing was that was brilliant. Very scary. Also, I forgot to mention this is written by Russell T. Davis and Phil Ford.
The second case where we had a collaboration.
Yes,
last time was the first
consecutively.
One.
Anyway, of course, the Doctor is starting to remember stuff. Not remember. He's sort of getting information, isn't he, from his sort of time lordiness. Via pictures and clips from computer stories, I'd guess.
From a futuristic Wikipedia, I thought.
Yeah, that's probably about. And he realizes.
Yeah,
I know, but he realizes they should all be dead, and decides he should go, as you said earlier on. But something's stopping him because he's a nosy. Anyway, and also the other thing I forgot to mention. The good thing about those little computer clips, you can pause them and read them. And this is obviously in high definition. I haven't got the Blu-ray of this.
But you
can even do it with the DVD version of it.
That's good. All I have is the DVD, and yes, you can do it with the DVD.
Yeah. And
I don't have a Blu-ray player.
You don't.
Is the Australian? Is he called Tom?
Peter 3.
I think so.
No, Ed.
Ed, that's it, yeah. Ed, now, yes. Ed of course.
It just so happens that he's from Adelaide, and the captain is called Adelaide Brooke.
Brilliant.
Yes, but I saw that.
He's a very iconic actor. He's very iconic.
Originally in Neighbours.
He was in Neighbours, and then he was in that Flying Doctors, was it?
Yes, he was in the Flying Doctors.
That was a brilliant series, that was. That Flying Doctors, I used to love that. There weren't any Time Lords in it, though.
Yep.
But there were some Flying Doctors in the...
Well, it wasn't the Space Travelling Doctors,
Runaway Bride.
He was in X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Was he?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, good. I say, as Peter O'Brien, isn't it, the actor?
Peter O'Brien, yes.
Yeah, I do like him. I mean, I do, obviously, I watched Neighbours in the early days, and I think he played one of the Ramsey...
He had a mullet.
Pardon? He had a mullet. He played Shane Ramsey. And there was Henry Ramsey's brother, who was played by Craig McLachlan, who was also who played the brother of Kylie Minogue?
Charlene.
So a few interwoven Ramsey, yes. Doctor Who and Neighbours connections there.
Wow, yes. You know more about it than I do.
I haven't watched. Obviously we've got a Neighbours, or we did have a Neighbours actor on Big Brother until a couple of days ago, and that was
for those people who pay attention to Big Brother.
That was the actor who played Toadie, who is actually Ryan something or other. Back to Doctor Who.
Ryan Maloney.
Yes,
Ryan Maloney.
Yeah, nice bloke actually. Anyway, so the Doctor and Adelaide and. Who was the other bloke, the Asian-looking bloke? What's his name? I can't remember his name now. He was the next one to get done in. Oh, and the Gadget. And they're wandering along one of the, probably the corridors and
the
Millennium Stadium.
The giant corridors, yes.
The Millennium Stadium.
They need
Stadium.
A bicycle, really.
Yeah.
You
do.
Yeah.
Just a fold-out one.
They need to not build these places so huge when there's only, five people?
Well, yeah.
Six?
Well, yeah. Captain Ian Kirk has a point about that, and I agree with him. We'll hear it later on.
Yeah, anyway, the Doctor obviously has decided not to to go at this particular point, and they find what's the woman that was with Andy?
Maggie,
that's it. They find her unconscious, and of course he keeps saying don't touch her, and they do.
They actually paid attention to him and didn't touch her.
Tarek, it's a bloke who touches her.
Oh yeah.
Obviously they
use gloves.
Isn't it? If it can go through ceilings and stuff, a glove was obviously not gonna do it. Now I'll tell you what, right? This woman who plays Maggie, she reminds me of Alicia's best friend's mum. She looks Well, in my mind, looks just like her.
No, yeah, that's not the entire podcast.
No offense, Maxine, yeah. If you're listening, and you won't be. But there's just something about her. Maxine, Levi's mum, hasn't actually got
shoots water from her wrist. Though,
no, so. in the face and that just reminds me a little bit of her.
Features on the
not
face.
Before she. I said before she got changed over.
Oh, okay.
Oh, oh,
we know.
So anyway, they end up in the what do they call that place where all the plants are?
The botanic garden of wherever it is.
No, what's it?
National Botanic Garden.
No, in the story, not where they filmed it. What do they call it? It's a something centre. Anyway, hydroponic.
Something like that.
Hydroponic centre. Anyway, so they end up in this hydroponic centre, which reminds me of the hydroponic sort of area in the Ark. That's a William Hartnell story. What? The Ark.
Can I say something about that?
What?
If you look at the interior.
Yeah.
The dome is not so much. It's not so I'm eating.
Okay.
It's not you so always much are. A dome. I know. It's not so much a dome as it is on the outside.
It's so you're saying it's bigger on the outside? Oh, sorry. All right.
It's an optical illusion.
it's a different shape outside than it is inside. They should have made the domes outside a bit more longer.
Maybe there's a secondary layer on the outside that's more curved.
Yeah, because the actual building is oblong. And they made it,
yes,
when
that's
you're
what I mean.
Outside,
yeah.
It's more dome.
Yeah, but maybe on the outside there's a second layer. That's just me trying to justify that. But maybe there's another layer.
Thank you.
When you have a look on the exterior, they do show you the green area inside. So
enough of the archaeology? Architecture. Enough of the architecture podcast.
And since it's a real place, that's why it has birds living in it. That's why the birds went in.
Yeah, but that's still, I like that
they
bit.
Focused on them because they had the background noise.
The only thing they were lacking was the TARDIS and a few monoids, and then it would be just like that.
It also reminded me of Time of Angels and Flesh and Stone, just having plants with space type stuff, because of course they had the plants in that to give air to the ship.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Anyway, right, back to Doctor Who. Tarek discovers Andy and gets sprayed with loads of water.
Which, again, that was pretty creepy too, just with a hand dripping water onto him and him shaking.
And Maggie has been sort of kept in isolation, rather wisely, and she's showing signs of weirdness. And she's
does an excellent job of looking weird.
She does. Well, she's not just... Yes. and then she does. Nice. And this is another great shot, isn't it? The one where Yuri's rabbiting on about some minor stuff, and she then does a conversion in the background out of focus, which is very effective.
Minor stuff included another classic RTD gay agenda.
Which is what? Oh, because Yuri's boyfriend's on the other end of the Skype.
No,
link.
Yuri's brother's boyfriend.
His
or
brother's.
Like that.
No, they're married. His Yuri's brother's married
husband.
To. I've
got more than used to so used to gay agendas and gay relationships and it doesn't actually
oh yeah no it doesn't bother
no 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 bother me I just
it's,
don't
it's
notice
one,
it anymore.
It's one of those things that you tend to get particularly in an RTD
I know it doesn't bother you. I'm just saying it's something that I sort of forget now because it happens so much now in RTD stuff and even most TV really. Especially, you know, when we first saw what then was slightly weird sort of same-sex relationship between, you know, a lizard woman and a sort of East End girl. It wasn't so much that they were both women that flagged. It was the fact that it was interspecies. Same-sex.
Interspecies.
Yeah, that's what I meant. So,
he corrected himself. Yeah. Don't jump in there.
yeah, I mean, I got... They can have a whole thing with same sex relationship. It doesn't really matter, really. I mean, I suppose it is a bit funny with the RTD thing, but obviously Moffat's continued that on several instances.
Yeah.
So
with the fat, thin, gay, fat, married Anglican priests.
Yeah. Anyway,
there are a few of the scenes, getting back to the story and stuff, a few of the scenes where you see a close-up of Andy and he's dripping out of his mouth, where you can actually, if you've watched The Confidential,
you can see
you know how they got the water in there,
yeah.
And you can see some of the tubing and stuff.
Yeah, you can, that's true. Now you mentioned it, I can see it now, but... Yeah, but it doesn't matter. They've got to do it somehow.
It doesn't matter.
It's still...
Better than the Tritables last time.
Oh, yes.
But they looked kind of real at some points, and then they looked completely fake at other points. So I can excuse that.
But I'm glad they didn't go with the original idea with the water, though, because the actors would have been blinking. If it's coming from their head.
Yeah.
So they were just blinking all the time. And I reckon it would look more like they're just sweating profusely rather than something eerie.
I suppose you could make the joke that it was probably a little bit hot in the studios of sweaters. You know, that you only say that reminds me of Airplane. Do you ever see Airplane where they were getting the moment when they were getting...
Yes. That's so funny.
It's hilarious.
There are sometimes you could tell that they've got a hose up their sleeve too, but you can ignore that sort of thing.
Yes.
Of course, another thing I noticed for this was the fact that obviously once they'd converted into these water Martians, their eyes went sort of white, apart from when Maggie did. So maybe Maggie couldn't wear the contact lenses.
The explanation was that she was somehow fighting it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Because you notice it takes her a lot longer to convert.
Yeah.
Bob,
I think that there was also a line about, the doctor says, remember how long it took Maggie? And sometimes water can wait. And I think it was just choosing to take that long to take over her.
Okay, but I'm just saying that, you know, I'm talking about obviously after she'd fully converted and she'd had the wrinkly face and what have you, her eyes were still dark brown. Meanwhile, there's a few tense scenes where they get chased by the Andy and Tarak into a little...
Are they camping?
Enclosure. They save Gadget, because he's obviously quite vital to the plot. Because you were talking, I missed the bit where the Doctor fiddles with the electronics on Gadget so it can go so fast to leave a trail of fire behind it.
And yet, when you watch the background go behind
the future.
Them, it's kind of... They really aren't going that fast at
all. No.
That was a tad bit silly, but hey-ho. It's a science fiction fantasy TV show.
It was quite possible to ignore that. I just happened to notice it.
Mm. Mm.
So it's funny that they all wanted to go on the gadget too, didn't they?
Yeah, he did.
Mm. Graham Harper, when they were directing, stood in for him, but he said, gadget, in a very high-pitched voice.
Yeah.
It is annoying, isn't it?
The Doctor talks to Maggie.
It's supposed to be funny.
The Doctor talks to Maggie in some ancient Martian language, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Sounds like Hebrew or something.
Yeah. he didn't necessarily need to do because the TARDIS was nearby, but I suppose that was just because he wanted to, apparently.
Yeah, I think then the TARDIS doesn't translate it because it's in his head.
And it was to do that really neat connection.
Yeah.
With the Ice Warriors.
Oh, yeah, that was good, yeah. Yeah, I agree. But there was lots of backwards and forwards along this corridor, wasn't there?
I know.
It seemed to waste a lot of energy for them.
Got them fit. Well, it was in January, wasn't it, they're filming?
It was. It was indeed. Yeah. Well, never mind. So the Doctor sort of keeps on hinting to poor old Adelaide that she's sort of doomed. He needn't really have done that.
You're doomed.
If he hadn't done that, she wouldn't have killed herself at the end.
Yeah, and also they gave the reason to show the clip of her as a child, with the Dalek, which is a quite a nice little scene.
Yeah,
really. It's quite. In fact, in some ways, it's quite beautiful the way the Dalek's so graceful.
Yeah.
So it comes down to the window and looks at her.
And it didn't say that about a Dalek. Yeah. Well, they were based off the removing of Russian dancers, wasn't it? So,
were they?
Something artful.
Okay.
I thought they were based off pepper shakers.
Well, I thought they were based on some Nazi thing.
Yeah, I know, the fascism, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway,
one thing with Adelaide, just the other night, we turned the TV on, which is unusual for me.
What?
And no, I don't watch a lot of TV. And we were watching Guys and Dolls, which has one of the main characters is named Adelaide, and that's helped put on a production of Guys and Dolls when I was in high school, and that's where I connect that name.
Yes. Oh. Meanwhile, the crew are packing because they're going to get the hell out of there. And Adelaide at this stage is quite confident that that is going to happen and gives the Doctor his spacesuit back. So they pack rather intensely.
Yes, after some negotiation.
And the other thing about this episode, there's lots of whiteness, which is traditional 1980s science fiction sort of scenery, isn't it? Which is quite nice.
They did say they wanted a NASA kind of look.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that set is just beautiful.
Oh, yeah. It is. Yes. It's quite interesting they got all these, like, some of it's quite high-tech and futuristic, and other bits are quite retro, you know, with some of the labelings and some of the little sort of dials, you know, which even now we don't really use those sorts of measurement dials yet. This is like 30 years in the future, and they decided to, which okay, I think probably does happen from time to time, they decide to use old faithful methods.
You know what it's like, if you ever see the Wheel of Space or what they've got left of it, there's a shot in there of Cybermen in their ship. Yeah. And it zooms in on their instrument panel, and it's got Made in Japan.
Oh. Really? I hadn't noticed that.
It's not zooming in specifically on the panel, but you can see it that it's Made in Japan.
Meanwhile,
there's another one in a Hartnell story that somebody had written in Pull This Lever or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Anyway. Meanwhile, Tarek and Andy are on the roof of the sort
that
of...
That sounds like a name in itself. Just one name, Tarek and Andy.
urinating and vomiting on the floor with a view to the water. With a view to the water coming through and infecting everybody underneath. And, of course, that does actually happen. Who's holding hands there? I missed that bit.
It's the girl and Yuri. I think they end up marrying in the end, don't they?
Yeah, but just how come they're dead?
No, they're the two that got back.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Sorry, I was looking. I thought it was the German girl because she's behind him. I can't see. Okay.
She's the one who has the great scene where she turns on video of her.
That's right. No, because when they showed it and them holding hands, the next shot was of the German girl and the gadget operator bloke. But they weren't obviously one's wearing red, and I just got a bit confused at that point.
What point is that?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't got a time code on this. It's a DVD player. Well, sorry, it's a Blu-ray player playing DVD, so it hasn't actually got, it doesn't display a time code.
Look at the control panel on the front of the player.
It doesn't display anything. It's a Sony Blu-ray player. It doesn't display any figures at all. It just plays out. It doesn't display any figures. Hey. Hang on, well, I've got something to come up here. There we go. I've got a time code for you, Kirby, because I just played. I pressed the display button. Right, be quiet. What do you want me to find for you?
Where they're holding hands.
I've got to go backwards now. It definitely is, because there's a long shot of Yuri and I don't know the girl's name.
Miriam.
Actually, Mia.
But you're looking at somewhere around the 36 minutes mark. Oh, 37:01.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is those.
It is those two, because they cut to a long shot of them holding hands from behind. So yeah, it is them. Without a question. The Doctor is meanwhile standing, watching everybody, holding his thing and looking quite sad. Because he's just... he knows that that they're all sort of packing... they're dying. His uniform. That's what she said!
It's true. He's holding a helmet, though.
But some they are wasting a bit of time, because they're doing it in slow motion. If they sped up a bit, they might have had a chance of... getting away. So the doctor turns away, and then he gets into his space suit and gets into the little airlock thing, still looking a bit grumpy.
And he goes out onto what was the heart of Mount Vesuvius and the Ootsphere surface and the surface of Hauth.
Thank you.
That'll do, Kirby. That'll do.
That particular quarry.
Yeah. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Artie.
Thank you. So anyway, the Doctor is prevented from leaving by Adelaide, but then there's a point in which she says something on the lines of how will you escape, and then he says Adelaide, whatever her name is, can't remember her surname.
I can't remember either. Yeah.
Adelaide Brooke. Yeah. How will you escape? He says Adelaide Brooke, and then she presses a button, and he can escape, but of course he doesn't, because he's, you know, he's sort of reeled back into the adventure.
The last of the
Time. Yeah. And this is the point, I think, at which he starts going a bit mad, doesn't he? I think it's when he's actually started. He's holding the helmet and the uniform. The spacesuit, and he's just watching.
When he's doing what he doesn't need.
Yeah,
to.
Basically, the bit where everyone's in slow motion. That's the point, I think, in which he starts going mad.
He starts thinking he has to go, but he doesn't want to, and it starts just breaking him down.
I wonder if it's got anything to do with going back to the scene with Donna at the Pompeii thing, when she persuades him to go back and save someone.
Well, he does bring that up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it
didn't have a bucket, and he was in a spacesuit. That would be awful.
It tears his mind apart. So, basically, the water starts getting in, and then the German girl, can't remember her name. Sorry, she gets trapped. Steffi? That's it. So she gets trapped, and she has to lock herself in to the little control room.
Which is so sad.
It is, and then she starts watching a little video of her child. Again, sadness, brilliantly done. You really do feel for her, and everybody else is sort of screaming at her. The Doctor just watches, even sadder. And
Doctor, die!
Yeah. And then he again tries to leave, but goes back again. That she turns into one of these creatures. And then, of course,
very quickly,
Peter O'Brien's in the spaceship, and he's just about to leave. And that's a brilliant scene—the bit where
she buys up.
Yeah, and he gets covered in it, and he knows that's it, sacrifices himself.
She's right there. Maggie's right there, and does that, and then she manages to run away pretty darn quick while he explodes the.
Yeah.
Maybe she makes a water slide with all of that water and slides down.
Yes. Whee!
Meanwhile, the doctor is actually walking across the surface of Mars,
very slowly,
listening to everything. Well, turn your blimmin' communicating thing off, and you don't have to listen to it. So yeah, as I say, Peter O'Brien very selflessly commits suicide. Brilliant scene, brilliantly acted by Mr. O'Brien.
Wasn't it a good explosion?
It was, but it's the way the Doctor flies through the air. That looked really good, didn't it?
Before Kirby mentions it, I don't care if fire can't burn on Mars. It was dramatic.
Yeah, it didn't bother me at all. I realize Captain Kirk makes a reference to it, but it doesn't bother me.
No, but I was saying about the eyes, and you said that Maggie was fighting against it. That's why her eyes stayed brown. But I think he was fighting against it. He opened his eyes up. His eyes had already turned that colour, and he said, see you later, and press the button.
Maybe
they filmed the scenes out of order.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe they filmed the scenes out of order and thought it was spookier without them.
Maybe.
Steffi doesn't have white eyes. She's got her brown eyes too.
Really? Maybe she couldn't wear the contact lenses then.
Hmm.
So anyway, the Doctor is listening to sort of voices from his past. This is
die, Doctor, die!
Which is indicating... This is a bit like, the fourth Doctor just before he regenerated. He's sort of, hearing voices in his head. And he goes back... He goes back and, he's clearly gone completely berserk. He's all over the place, but he's determined to completely go against the laws of time. And,
does anybody know what episodes that those quotes come from?
Which quotes?
The ones that he's hearing.
I'm sure there's something on some site somewhere that does list them.
I'm sure there's something in Kirby's mind that will go ding very soon.
Maggie appears.
We're taken from Rise of the Cybermen, Doomsday, Gridlock, and Utopia.
Maggie appears. Thank you for that,
there
Kirby.
You go.
Maggie
Wikipedia.
Appears. All right, thank you. Maggie appears. Can I speak? God's sake, magic, get ready. Maggie appears.
What's
oh, right, that's, I'm getting cross now. Maggie appears.
And,
oh, for God's sake, magic, come here. Oh, he can't be bothered. Yeah, Maggie appears and her eyes are normal. As I said before, her eyes have not changed colour. She's back again. So she obviously couldn't wear the contact lenses. But there's a scene in which lots of ice starts breaking. Which
that's
is
breaking.
Yeah, is that where the ice warriors are supposed to be buried? Is that, I don't know.
No, isn't it, that's where they sealed the flood. They froze the flood up.
Ah,
that's what it's surmised.
Yeah.
That's what the Spice Warriors are supposed to have done, or maybe that was what caused them to leave Mars.
I see.
That's what David Tennant was theorizing
about
this era.
Sorry, the Tenth
David
Doctor.
Tennant was theorizing, or the Doctor?
No, I don't know whether they did it in the episode. I just remember from the Confidential, David Tennant talking about that.
Oh, that's right. That's
okay.
Right.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
I actually have the DVD of this one, so I did watch the Confidential.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Adelaide has set the self.
Confidential.
Will you be quiet? Adelaide has set the
Confidential for once, which I enjoyed.
Yes, it
was. But like Matthew said, there was so little to put on these discs that they just
precisely.
And they also had time to get clearance for the music.
And quite rightly so. Meanwhile, Adelaide has set the self destruct thing going. And there's water flooding everywhere, and everybody, all the infected people are just basking in this water. They must have been actually frozen. So, apart from Maggie, who I think has been...
I tell you what, though, you know, with the water, when they're firing at it, surely a splash of water can land sort of... Yeah, it's a bit ridiculous that they can't avoid any getting wet, you know what I mean?
It depends if it's infected water, though.
I know when Roman looks up, it only takes that one drop... just below his eye, remember?
Yeah, they did say one drop.
He did such a good job in that scene, too.
Maybe not one speck of it. Yeah, absolutely. Meanwhile, the Doctor's got hold of Gadget and is making Gadget's, scream across the surface of Mars to the TARDIS.
Gadget!
Yeah.
Go, Gadget, go!
Yeah, but, he operates the... gets into the TARDIS and gets the TARDIS to materialise and to save everybody. And
I thought only Time Lords can operate TARDISes.
He is the Time Lord.
Well,
he is a Time Lord, Robert.
Gadgets.
But he's not physically.
Yeah, but what about the remote control thing? And what about the times when Adric? No. What about times when Adric flew it and the times when Nyssa flew it?
I know. It's just something that they say in one time. Time Lords and their symbiotic nuclei.
That was in the Two Doctors. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, there was contradiction.
Maybe he's adapted it.
I think there was something wrong with the Two Doctors in relation to time now, because all the Todd Tyrans were really tall, so there wasn't. Maybe it was just a subliminal dream that the Doctor had. Meanwhile, the Doctor materializes back on Earth, and the girl whose name eludes me again and Yuri look a bit bewildered. And,
Steffi?
Steffi's dead.
Steffi.
Mia.
Yeah.
Mia.
Yeah. And Gadget sort of has enough residual energy to just wheel out the TARDIS and shut down. So basically, this scene is the Doctor being all sort of high and mighty,
What you're thinking of, Robert? What you're thinking of is the TARDIS controls are supposed to be isomorphic.
Yeah,
that's it. Yes, well done, Kirby. If I was awarding points, you'd have one for that one, but I'm not, so you don't get any. So, I feel this was quite a Christmassy scene, obviously, because of the snow and that.
Yes, I did too.
But, yeah, so Yuri...
They were getting ready for Christmas, though, at the beginning.
They were, yes.
Talking about it,
It was up, broadcast in November.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's set...
November,
No, but it was set for November 25th, remember? That's the date that they die.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, but it was broadcast on the 15th.
Okay.
It wasn't over here, though.
Never mind when it was broadcast. Basically, Mia and Yuri run off into the sunset, and the Doctor then sort of is very annoying to Adelaide, who then goes off and shoots herself, basically. And that
which
point,
was a very big downer, wasn't it?
Well, the fact that she shot herself. It was, but it was supposed to be.
No, it was happy-go-lucky, Robert.
Yeah, so this is a real echo or a pre-echo.
It kind of bothered me for a family viewing that they showed that.
Maybe so, yeah.
Yes.
But it was with a light
in the window.
Yeah, but it was with a rather fake-looking space weapon rather than a revolver. I think that's probably...
It made a sound like a revolver.
And it wasn't shown other than the flash and the sound effect. So, you know, if it had been like her pointing the gun to her head, like it is in Desperate Housewives, you know, right at the beginning of Desperate Housewives, that's the first thing you see, more or less. You know, it would have been probably a bit worse, but I think they did it in the right way. I haven't got a problem.
And it wasn't as blatant as in Children of Earth either.
No.
When Frobisher kills his family.
That's not Doctor Who, that's Torchwood, so we'll that's understandable.
I know. I'm just
yeah, that's a good point. That's really he was in the Fires of Pompeii, but
yes,
it was that was excellent. An excellent episode, but a horrible scene. Really was horrible.
Yeah.
Again, we go a bit of slow motion to indicate the Doctor's madness, and when he hears Adelaide kill herself, that's where he suddenly goes really, really mad.
Yes.
And an
he realizes what he's done.
Ood Sigma appears.
Yeah. I've gone too far.
Yeah. Again, very, very good. And this does sort of throw forward to his final scenes in The End of Time, doesn't it?
Back then, does he have a flash of Donna saying... does he have a flashback to Donna saying you need someone? Or am I thinking of the end when it's saying next time? I can't remember.
No, there isn't.
Does he have a flash...
There is a shot of Donna in the next bit.
Or was that in Confidential?
Possibly, I don't know.
Confidential, because it wasn't in the episode.
No.
I can't remember.
Yes, so, yeah, he
and
goes...
And there's a little title card saying, in memory of Barry Letts.
Yeah. I haven't done that bit yet. I'm just having the...
That's how I found out that he died.
I'm just having the internet. Oh, that's sad. This is we have a lot of panting from the Doctor at this point. Ood Sigma turns up. teeth breathing, as he tends to be.
I'm sorry. Is this it, my death?
Yeah, brilliant.
Well, that's slow panting, isn't it?
All right. Yes. Thank you. But yeah, I mean, this is very. I mean, fair enough. Well, this went out a month before the first part of The End of Time. It was a good sort of lead into it, wasn't it?
Not over here, though.
Never mind. Not really bothered about that. I'm talking about here, where it counts. I'm joking.
Viva the Revolution.
Joking. And the fact that you see a few shots of the Master. Obviously, we've had recent mention of Stephen Moffat. Only John Simmons will play the Master if the Master comes back, which I'm quite pleased about.
It's a story that Stephen Moffat told that at the premiere of The End of Time. John Sims is saying, I think now that David's gone, I think I'd have to go. I don't know if it'd be right having this Master for that Master, for that Doctor. But then he walks up to Stephen Moffat and says, I didn't mean a single word of what I just said.
Cool. So, yes, The Waters of Mars is better than its two predecessors.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, kind of.
It is better, but it's not...
remember that.
It's okay. I quite like it in some way. It's certainly very Doctor Who. You know, it's very scary, new monsters, and that side of the thing. It's got everything going for it. There's a few slightly irritating things about it, but on the whole, to sum it up quite quickly, I quite think I enjoyed it.
Probably the best of the specials.
Certainly the best of the specials. Yes.
Well, I like the end of time as well.
It did win the Hugo Award.
Did it?
Yeah.
But, of course, there were only three stories. Yes.
Not much to choose from.
I'd be interested to see how much of it was written by Phil Ford and how much was written by Russell T. Davis.
Well, in The Confidential where Phil Ford said, what idea was the idea that he had? He said... A couple of years before, it was when they found life on Mars. Not life on Mars,
life
when they found
on
the...
Mars!
That's what I figure. No, when they found evidence of water on Mars in 2006.
that's when I think Phil Ford had the idea, and he talked to RTD about, wouldn't it be great to have something, you know, life on Mars with something to do with water?
Yeah.
So that's where the idea sort of stemmed from. So, yeah.
Okay. So basically, actually, all in fairly much agreement, this is actually quite a good episode.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
But,
like last week.
But I don't think it's, I don't think in a special sort of way, but it's like, more like an ordinary sort of Doctor Who way.
All right, yeah. Can I ask you something? Would you all be happier if they were called the extra episodes? Because every time you say, oh, they're not that special, really.
That's just me. I'm just the one saying that. But...
Well, no, I think Matthew said it too.
Yeah.
No, it was almost a wilderness here.
Yeah.
Almost.
Well, I think that's the thing I find quite exciting about current Doctor Who. Obviously, we had three series of 10, and then we had these three episodes and under two Christmas specials. So it was five episodes. So it was like 3.5 series of David Tennant. But it looks to me as if we're going to get 4 and a bit series of Matt Smith before he eventually goes, which is good, which I'm quite pleased about. Obviously we've got they have said that the new series starts at Easter on the Easter Saturday, here in Great Britain. So we'll have, what, 7 episodes? Is it we've got left of the series? I can't remember now, 7 or 8. There's apparently going to be a anniversary special episode somewhere in November, I would imagine, followed by a Christmas special, followed by a complete series in 2014. So at least know what we've got looking at.
There's no Christmas episode.
Are you sure there's no Christmas episode?
Well, they haven't announced it yet, which is odd.
Yeah. I'd be very surprised. I would be very surprised if they didn't do a Christmas episode, because it is the main ratings winner for the BBC at Christmas.
And ABC.
Hmm. But you're right, they might not, but I'd be surprised if they didn't.
It's on BBC America here, not our ABC.
Very funny.
Ha, 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 ha.
So has anybody got anything they'd like to add about this before we get on to listeners?
I say a quick thing,
Siobhan Garrison.
Siobhan Garrison? viewers of Doctor Who.
It's the story that always reminds me of Barry Letts' death. That's all I associate it with. Because that's when I found out that he died. So that's what stands out for me.
Oh, by watching the episode?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how I found out. Because I didn't have the internet back then.
Oh, right. Okay.
And of course, Doctor Who magazine doesn't arrive until a month or so after.
Wonder if you have the internet now, because I've sent you several emails that you haven't responded to.
And also,
I did respond to one of them. Did you see that?
The internet was so much quieter in those days.
A lot less fighting.
And Mark Zuckerberg was earning a hell of a lot less money. Right, go on then, Reese. You wanted to say a few things about the waters of Mars. Go on.
Well, first of all, I think, unlike some episodes where you find some of the characters annoying and over the top, I think all the characters were well written and then equally well played. And the first time I watched it, I didn't feel as sad as I did this time.
Well played, sir.
Seeing Steffi die was... Be quiet. Seeing Steffi die was quite a tragic death. And I think that the guy who played Rowan was exceptional in that scene. He just had a bit of fear, but also the fact that he didn't want to endanger his crew, and he just says just one drop, whatever he said, and it was just a brilliant delivery. And I just wanted to mention the cast, and also I think that maybe David Tennant should have won an award for his performance in this, because it was outstanding as well.
I was just listening to you. Sorry, not going to disagree with that. Yeah, Tennant was good in this, even with the breathing, the teeth acting. You know,
he always does that. Though. And saying sorry when he says sorry.
Sorry.
But I love the
YouTube video that you linked to on Facebook.
Yes, there's a video that I shared on Facebook that it says David Tennant says sorry 120 times. It takes every clip of him saying sorry in the show.
I'm sorry. So sorry.
Somebody's got an awful lot of time on their hands.
Not me.
Wasn't me either.
Well, we're almost to the end of time.
True.
But
I have margarine myself.
I'm going to mute myself for a few minutes. I've got to step away.
It's
standard at this time of the morning.
Oh, is it? Oh, good grief. I dread to think.
I've got to go to the toilet, guys.
Okay, so that means I can't do my feedback. So have you done your bit, Reese? Have you said what you needed to say about this quite good episode of Doctor Who?
Well, yes. I mean, you already brought up the fact that the monsters are pretty freaky. I think it's a very good episode, personally, but they are very freaky.
It's okay. There are better ones. I must admit, I wouldn't, think, I'm going to watch an episode of Doctor. I know what I'm going to stick on. I'm going to stick on the Waters of Mars.
Yes.
But I don't deny I enjoyed it. It's very dark, isn't it? It's a very dark episode. I don't tend to like dark things very much. And I include a film like Batman, for instance, the Batman movies, I don't really like because of their darkness. I like sort of quite brightly lit things and, to a certain degree.
Well, I like... What was that, Robert?
Things that are gay, bright and gay.
Oh, okay.
You understand?
I think it is dark, but I think I would have... I agree with you that it's a bit too dark at the end. I like it when there's a happy note in the a Doctor Who story. And there should have been...
One thing about the end, with the death.
The Doctor rescued them. It's kind of like Fires of Pompeii when he rescued that family and Donna was a bit more comforted by that, by knowing that he saved... Well, she said just save someone. He saved the whole family. But in this, that moment was taken away from us when Adelaide killed herself, and I thought that was a very dark twist.
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, on the whole, it's quite a good episode, really.
A very good episode.
What do you think, Robert?
Yeah, I'm just so glad that it's an improvement on,
the next Doctor. Yeah, that was bad.
it was something to look forward to, compared to the other disappointing ones.
What, the next Doctor? Yeah.
Oh, God.
And the one last week was the same.
No, we did the next Doctor 2 weeks ago, Robert.
Goodness. Right, I cannot win!
As soon as...
you can't.
As soon as Kirby gets back, I've got some audio messages to impart.
Until then, we'll just twiddle our thumbs.
Yes, indeed.
Twiddle.
And I've stuck on the confidential in the background here just to sort of have something to watch while we wait for Kirby. And they had a shot of Julie Gardner. I always thought was had an air of sexiness about her, actually. She's a woman of power, I suppose, must be.
She does talk in the confidential when they're at the tone meeting that the camera's facing up her skirt. And so she said, that's why I've got my legs crossed.
Mm-hmm. But also the fact that she's a woman of power reminded me of, who was the producer of Moffat's
Verity
first
Verity Lambert.
Series? No, we're Moffat's know, first series. Grief. Beth somebody or other.
Beth Chalmers.
Willis.
No. Beth Willis, that's Willis. It. When they had her thighs on view in the first. She's got
yes,
a,
I remember.
She's
that was
a
in the,
set of
thighs
that
was
on
in the,
I prefer Karen Gillan's.
Oh, so do I. But for some reason, she does look... What was in the commentary? Yeah, they're like a... Yeah, in-screen commentary, didn't they? Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
In-fishing commentary.
That's it. Hmm. Anyhow. This, of course, like you say, was directed by Graham Harper. Of course, this must be his last Doctor Who.
Last one? Yeah. Is,
unfortunately.
Which is a bit of a shame.
We need more.
Yeah,
we want it.
He's too busy doing Doctor Coronation Street. No, I meant Coronation Street.
Actually, I'll tell you something. I was watching the extras on the Tintin DVD.
Yeah, I just watched Tintin the other day, actually. It was on Sky Movies, so me and Isabella watched it. Carry on.
But they showed Steve Moffat on there, because obviously he's part co-writer.
Yeah.
But they were just met one of the, I think it was Edgar Wright, who was also one of the screenwriters.
Yes.
Scriptwriters. Was just mentioning about Stephen Moffat couldn't complete or work any further on the script because he had to go off and produce Doctor Who. So I thought that was nice on that sort of video or DVD, Blu-ray. I was on Blu-ray, Mike. He was talking about Doctor Who. I thought that was a nice thing.
I'm aware of that, but that's good. Yes, I agree. Well, I was trying to have an argument with one of Deb's customers who was talking about how not necessarily how rubbish Doctor Who was, but I was trying to say that Tintin was on, and I said, there we are, Stephen Moffat, who could have gone off to have a lucrative career in Hollywood, decided to not do that because he decided to produce the best television series in the world instead. This is rather does sort of illustrate the point that Doctor Who cannot be denied that it is the best show in the world. If somebody who could have earned that much money as a very good pal of Steven Spielberg decided, oh no, I don't want to go and do that, I want to go and do Doctor Who. So,
But it was only because of Doctor Who that Stephen Moffat came to Steven Spielberg's attention in the first place, though.
Well, there you go. It's, again, it rather illustrates my point,
doesn't
it?
That just goes to show you. Yeah.
And as Steven Spielberg says, the world would be a poorer place without Doctor Who.
Yes. It'd be nice if Spielberg could direct an episode, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes.
Wouldn't that be fabulous?
Who's rattling stuff?
This is not written by Stephen Moffat. Oh, that's my key, sorry.
Yeah, thank you.
Why are you rattling your keys?
Rattling his cage, more like.
I've got something to fiddle around with.
Ooh.
I'm sure that Kirby will return at some point. Meanwhile, here's some music.
Theory that somebody had about A Christmas Carol, because obviously Moffat was writing.
Nothing more.
What?
Just ignore him.
Okay. obviously Stephen Moffat was too busy doing Doctor Who to go off and work with Spielberg, but he said, somebody theorized, I wonder if he said, I'll put a shark in Doctor Who as a reference to you, though. As in Jaws.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm listening. I'm just enthralled. Oh, sorry, I just sat back and I was just listening.
Oh,
to...
Oh, isn't that nice?
I'm just Adam,
isn't
if it, I'm like, I'll tell you what I'm going
to
do.
Listening to the prompts while I was talking.
be quiet. I'm just while Kirby's indisposed. I'm going to go and put the dog's dinner on, so I'll be gone for a few moments.
Ian Reese.
Oh dear. Well, Australia has officially taken over the Train and Make White Doctor Who podcast.
What's going on?
Yes!
Oh, fucking
hell. What did I miss?
While you're gone, Adam's going to put the dog's lunch on, so he's probably going to edit this bit out. Now that I've said that, he's going to leave the scene. Made me look like an idiot, though.
did we have any feedback yet?
No, we've been waiting until
I don't check my emails very often because I get a lot of spam. And I get
spam.
Let's talk after we're done with the podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Can we get back to the show now?
I need to know.
Spam. I'll take that as a no, shall I? Spam. Stop flapping your ears, for goodness' sake!
Sorry.
Magic, go and sit down.
Sorry.
Sit down.
Help it.
Sit down. Not over there. Oh, for God's sake.
I am sitting.
Not you. Right, shall we go on with the show? I've got some audio messages. Or massages. Here we go.
Podcast. Here is Nicola Bryant's impression of Wendell of the Omega podcast.
Omega.
We are here.
Waters and Mars by RTD and Phil Ford. Bowie Base One. Will David Bowie be dead in 2059? Or will all those chemicals preserve him?
Oh.
Yes. This base is intended to be a space colony. I suppose those big corridors might make sense. But they could have started smaller and enlarged them when necessary.
Yes.
By now, NASA has proved that Mars really does look like a quarry, like Doctor Who said it did. Gadget is a remote-controlled vehicle, not a real robot. It does look like Disney's Wall-E from 2008.
Yes.
After the Doctor wears his magic screwdriver, Gadget leaves tracks of fire. Is that from the Back to the Future films?
Yes.
Yeah. When Gadget is operating at high speed, the human operator seems to feel electric shocks. Ouch. Feedback is not always enjoyable. Solid rockets can be stored ready for use for years. The disadvantage is that the thrust and duration is fixed at the time of manufacture. Ooh. Rockets using liquid oxygen can be throttled, stopped and restarted. No disadvantage is that the liquid oxygen boils away. The rocket at Bali Base 1 would have been flown to Mars and then would wait until it was required. That would waste a lot of oxygen. Another alternative is a hypergolic rocket. This uses two liquid chemicals which are so reactive that they ignite as soon as they come into contact with each other, even in a vacuum. Some fans say that flames on the surface of Mars after the rocket explodes are not possible. I say, hypergolics. The significance of the 21st of November is that in 2009, it would be the day Tennant became the second longest serving Doctor. The story is set 50 years later. In June 2009, Lindsay Duncan got a medal for services to drama, the CBE, Commander of the Order of the British Empire. That year she played Adelaide Brooks, the base commander in Waters of Mars. Her other contribution to sci-fi was as the voice of robot TT-14 in Star Wars The Phantom Menace. The Doctor mentions the events of the episode Fires of Pompeii. Lindsay Duncan played a minor part in a film with Frankie Howard, Further Up Pompeii. Don't titter. You were mentioning people who used to send feedback. At least she used to be on the show.
Yes.
And she is family.
Tell us about it.
Oh, God. Thank you for that, Ian.
Bye for now.
Yeah, that's thank you, Ian. That was that is rather apt for Alicia because she is a complete monster at the moment. But enough.
It's the Adams
her.
Family.
Yeah, yeah. There are it was the Adams. I didn't say monster. I said monster. Goodness gracious me! That was Ian Kirk, listeners. I have some written feedback, and if you talk over her feedback, she may never write in again.
Oh.
And here it is. It's Tosha Bingham. And she says, hello. I didn't get a chance to listen to the first three or so episodes until this week because I have been really busy and unable to listen to any podcasts. I have been meaning to give you guys some feedback, so here it is. I think you're just brilliant. Well, thank you very much. I can't vouch for the rest of the people, but thank you, Tosha. I love the humour. Yes, of course. I can totally understand that. Be quiet. Especially your most recent episode. I presume that means the one with the flatulence in it.
The one without me.
Yes, there we go. Talking about your last episode, I would have to disagree with you about Planet of the Bed being a better... Planet of the Dead. Oh, now the clock's interrupting. Hang on, we have to take this interruption from the clock. I'll carry on.
We're in the old studio today.
We're in Studio 2 today, because I fancied a bit of comfort. About Planet of the Dead being better than the next Doctor. I think that it is the other way round, but then again, I've only seen them once when I was just getting into Doctor Who, and I had no idea what was happening because I didn't watch them in the order they were supposed to be in, and I haven't been able to watch an old new Who lately. But those are definitely on the list when I do get the time to watch some. Now, to get to the episode that you guys are going to talk about this time, which is Waters of Mars, you'll have to bear with me because I haven't watched the episode lately, so
Frog
I'm going right. off of memory. Beg your pardon?
I said Frog Right.
Ignore him.
What?
I thought this episode was pretty creepy with the whole thing, a single drop of what can get you infected, and the way the mouths of the infected looked. The CGI work on the water was pretty good. As a whole, I do apologise, Tosha. Probably you won't write in again now, thanks to that lot, never mind. As a whole, I thought the episode... Be quiet! As a whole, I thought the episode was really good. The only thing that I didn't like was that the Doctor was all, I'm a Time Lord and I can do whatever I want, and goes off and saves Adelaide.
Yes.
I think it was, and the other two, that changes time. I did not like that at all, but I'm willing to look over that since his song was going to end. I also thought it got really dark for the kids stroke family show when Adelaide commits suicide in her own house, but overall I enjoyed the episode and is probably the best of the specials. I can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about the episode. Hear you later. And I thought I'd read that wrong. Hear you later. Bye. But that's a PS. It probably doesn't need to be read. But anyway, thank you, Tosha.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Yes, always thank lovely you. To get some feedback.
It is. Got some more.
Really?
Right. Yeah. Greetings, Adam, Kirby, Mary, Reese, and Robert. Judging by the trailer, the Waters of Mars look to be a good one. This episode is very much... Oh, what?
Did I not get mentioned?
Yes, you did.
If you were listening instead of talking, you would have heard. This episode is very much a companion to the fires of Pompeii, where the Doctor is put into a situation that he cannot alter, but this time he oversteps his bounds and gets too big for his britches. An excellent idea to explore, but unfortunately done without any subtlety, which is my main gripe with the episode. I can't help feel that the Doctor's dramatic slow-motion walk from Bowie Base 1 to the TARDIS was used to pad out the episode so it could reach the 1 hour mark. On the positive side, I like my Doctor Who story scary, and it certainly delivered. David Tennant was brilliant as always. Lindsay Duncan was also good as Captain Adelaide Brooke, and the Martian water base intelligent virus is an excellent monster on a par with anything Stephen Moffat has come up with. That's what I thought. I did think of it was very Moffatish. This story.
Yes, it is.
Now, I wonder if that was Phil Ford or RTD.
Could well be. I do hope they come back for another episode. I think they have a lot of potential. I'd also like to thank you all for producing my favourite podcast. You all do an excellent job. Keep up the great work. Your faithful listener, Thomas Reyes.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you, Thomas.
Well, you do realise that only I make the Who Is A Man podcast.
No comment. Anyway, right, I have a further email which I'm not going to read out because it's from the people connected with the lovely Daphne Ashbrook, who is supposed to be appearing on the show next week, but I don't like to sort of, you know, put the kiboshes in anything, but we have lined up a guest on the show next week, and I apologise if it doesn't happen, but it's taken a good 100 episodes for it to actually develop into her coming on. So, with fingers crossed, next week, episode 150, we'll have Daphne on. So, look forward to
that. Will that be Sunday or Monday?
It'll be Sunday.
Sunday.
Right. We have some audio feedback, or an audio message. Don't make noises like that. And here it comes. Be quiet.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. This is Mary.
Mary!
From Southern Ohio.
Who?
You knew you weren't going to get away without hearing from me. Waters of Mars. Yes. The penultimate installment in the Gap Year specials. I see that it was intended to be a Christmas special called Red Christmas, but it was moved to November for reasons that probably Kirby knows and I don't.
Yes.
But it was moved to November, which forced the script changes so that the base destruction and subsequent deaths of the crew members had to be changed to a November date. However, some references to Christmas did remain in, the discussion between the Doctor and Adelaide about Christmas dinner, and the faux snow at the end. The reason for the faux snow is apparently in a deleted scene that you all probably saw, but I didn't, since I watched it on Netflix streaming. I've only seen this story once before and have not been motivated to watch it a second time, let alone a third time or more, as I have done with just about every other Doctor Who episode, and I wondered why until I watched it.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. It's good.
Ooh!
It's creepy.
Yes, it is.
And for the most part, it's very well acted. The crew members turned monsters haunt my dreams. The will he, won't he save them tension of the story is well maintained.
Yeah.
We care about the secondary characters as they face certain destruction. They're very well fleshed out. And again, like the mindless, ruthless nature of the stingrays, I really like water as a patient and ruthless force. You can maybe outrun it, but you can't negotiate with it. There are the silly and unbelievable aspects of the story. Of course, it's Doctor Who, after all. Like the fiery trails that the little robot makes when it goes really fast. I mean, come on, that's pretty cartoon-like. And the Dalek sparing Adelaide's life. I mean, why spare one single human when the entire planet, if their plan is carried out, is going to be destroyed?
But the Dalek knew.
Anyway, it is my favorite so far of the year of specials.
Yes.
And I enjoyed Tennant's low-key performance until his Time Lord Victorious incarnation when he was eating the scenery for dinner.
I thought that was all right.
Well, at this point, I will quote a friend of the show. That's all for now.
Thank you, Mary Lang. Now,
yes.
She must have gone down to the local caves to record that because it was very echoey.
Well, if you go to some caves, you just need to milk a bat.
Is that for Perry?
Thank you for that, Kirby.
Aye.
Anyway, time to move on. I think was quite good. Next week, like we said, I think it might be a good idea to watch the. Oh well, we can't watch End of Time because we've got two other episodes to watch. It depends what order. I think we should do it the Sarah Jane episode first, and then do the animated one. And then we'll move on to End of Time. Because obviously, I've got it wrong. We'll do the animated one first. Yes?
What animated one?
Oh, God.
Dreamland.
Yes, Dreamland.
Isn't that quite quick?
Dreamland.
Can we do the animated one and the Sarah Jane one?
Well, in the same episode? Good grief, you are asking a lot of me, you know. Try and fit all that in one episode.
I just want to get to the End of Time.
Do you? Well, let's see how long.
You want to die?
No. The episode.
Let's see. Be quiet! Let's see how long Dreamland is. It's 48 minutes. 48 minutes long. So it's basically an episode. So I think we'll.
I bought it when the DVD came out and I still haven't watched it.
Well, you better get around and watch it then because next week it's Dreamland. And then we'll do the following week the final episode that David Tennant filmed as the Doctor, which is, of course, the Wedding of Sarah Jane Smith.
What is the Mars?
And then it'll be the End of Time. But of course, I would advise.
Final story, because it is two episodes.
Yeah, I know.
So
it's an hour.
To the final countdown. Yeah.
But also, recap by watching the Doctor Who movie. Be quiet. Just in case Daphne appears on the show. Now, talking about Doctor Who actresses, Celia Imrie came into the shop when I was out. Now, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show last week, but a couple of months ago, she came in and bought some items, like a tub of Twiglets, paid for them and got them to put the tub of Twiglets and the rest of the shopping to one side in the office with a label on it saying Celia Imrie shopping paid for on it. So my boss decides, after it had been sitting there for a month, oh well, she's not coming back for it, put the Twiglets out for sale, somebody else bought it, and then of course the next day, that's the day Celia Imrie comes in and says, where's my shopping? And wasn't particularly impressed with the fact that her tub of Twiglets had been sold, even though she'd already just bought it.
I wouldn't be either. I like Twiglets.
Mm. But she was given two bags of Twiglets, which actually accumulates to more Twiglets than she originally bought by way of conversation.
What?
But she hasn't come in to collect them either. But I did. My boss phoned up and I did explain this to him, and he said, oh, for God's sake, it was sitting in there for 2 months. Why did she suddenly decide the day after I got rid of it to come in and buy it? But there you are, that's what happened. So I was hoping all day Saturday that she was actually going to come in and collect the two bags of Twiglets, so I could say, Celia, I want to do an interview with you after your episode goes out, please, thank you. And I didn't get the opportunity, but I'm looking forward to it. She's a very approachable woman.
St. John's, okay.
Thank you, Kirby.
No, he's just twig. Just Twiglet.
Ah, very good. Right, I'm sure there was some
Thank
stuff
you.
On the
Got to be here all night.
Stuff on the website. Oh, yes, the iTunes things I was moaning about. Remember I said that if you buy Caesar, the series pass, and Dinos Daniel, otherwise known as Dino, did actually illustrate the fact that I'd forgotten to mention the fact they did eventually give me a refund for the difference, because somebody must have complained. So I got the money back for that one, yeah. So what else have we got? Mary can't be on the show this week because she's working. That's a disgraceful excuse.
Yes.
Other than that, there's not much going on.
Well, it's good that she is working. It'd be terrible if she was broken down.
Didn't get
it'd be terrible if she was in hospital. I mean, honestly, that's ridiculous.
She is in hospital.
Oh, my.
Can you explain to listeners why that would be funny, Reese?
Because she works in a hospital?
I think they know.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, right.
I can. When she said that she was the charge nurse this morning, I considered finding that Flintstones clip where Wilma and Betty go, "Charge it!"
Dear me.
You should.
When does this the Reign of Terror thing come out with the animated episodes? Oh, hang on, the dog's dinner's boiling
January.
Over.
Comes out tomorrow, doesn't it? Something like that.
Well, surely it should be today. That means I must be getting a delivery of it soon. Right, sorry,
oh,
the dog's...
Adam.
Yes, my dog's dinner's boiling over. No, not until I get the... I turn off the heater, cook her down. Well, I'm back. Right, you can mention it now.
Run inside.
Adam. No, you know the basic
upset. It upset, what's that mean? But it upset.
Speaking normally, how come it's coming out all cracked then?
Because you've got a rubbish internet connection.
Woo!
Magic, come up here. Come on.
Sorry.
Come on. You don't have to flap your ears to come up. You can actually jump up. He thinks that if he flaps his ears, he's like a helicopter and he can actually fly up to the settee. Come on, let me come. Come on. Come on. Oh, I'll pick you up, you lazy sod. There we go. Yeah, Magic's here. Magic's here. Magic. Hello. Oh, he's climbing up to get close to the microphone. Hello.
Hello.
He's a good boy.
Hello, Magic.
You're a good boy now.
Hello.
He's a good boy.
Magic.
No, he can't hear you. He's just coming up for a cuddle. Right. Now, what was I going to say? Oh, yes.
You know
this show's called the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. Because
I know it's called 20
Fart Podcast. The podcast. What do you mean? It's the podcast. No, it's called the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. Now,
I do.
The reason being that in those days that iTunes had a limit of 20 megabytes. Yes. Well, they've upped the limit, haven't they, to 50 megabytes. So should we change the name to the 50 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast?
No. Got to change stick with the original.
Mm. Yeah, no, I was just being silly.
People have got to,
because people have got to
know that it's what the show is, isn't it?
It is, and I do hope Brain of Terror drops in my letterbox this morning, or even this afternoon, as it's now the afternoon.
You know, Adam, last time you got the Legacy box set, the very next day, I went to the shops and saw it.
You saw it?
So I bought it.
Leave it alone.
Did you say you bought
it? To me, when it was happening to me, too.
So I bought it a few days after that, so...
Yeah, it's got some good extras on it.
Now you're going all funny.
No, I'm not.
No.
Yes, you are.
You are.
Yeah,
I've already gone through the more than 30 years in the TARDIS.
Yeah, I've watched most of that. That's actually still very good, isn't it? I've forgotten how good it was.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a very good documentary, that. Everybody looks so much younger in it. The thing I liked most on the set was the interview with Nicholas Courtney. That was really good. It was sort of like montage in his life.
It wasn't very much, though, was it?
No, it was a bit brief, but it was still very good.
Yes.
And probably worth buying the whole thing for myself.
Yep.
Right, on to news. The Silver Screen 50th anniversary releases. They release the Caves of Androzani music.
Mm.
Which is very, the music from that episode is very distinctive, so there's no need for that.
Yes, but Reese doesn't like it.
Well, it's because it's scary.
No,
he doesn't
like
music.
Some bits of it was a bit just too synthesizer heavy, but that's what they use in those days. So.
Yes, indeed.
As I because I went in depth to you about that, didn't I?
Many times.
Yeah. Destiny of the Doctor, Shadow of Death, written by Simon Gurrier.
Is that the second one? That's the second one, isn't it?
Yeah, featuring Fraser Hines and Evie Dornay, released on the 7th of February. It's obviously one of the 50th anniversary things going on, Patrick Troughton's story. There's a BFI First Doctor panel, which has...
Best Friend Industry.
Sorry?
Best Friend Industry, is that?
British Film Institute. Anyway, so we have... Shut up. So we have a discussion with Waris Hussein, William Russell, Caroline Ford. God, I give up.
Right. Yep.
And what else is going on here? It's about the animation. There's a little article about the animation for Reign of Terror. War Machines is going to be on UK TV in some nether region of the world. Troughton and Gold win Audio Drama Awards. David Troughton and Murray Gold are winners of the BBC Audio Drama Awards 2013. Hosted by David Tennant.
David.
Splendid David. Chaps podcast. I don't know why they're getting an actual mention on the Doctor News site on an article like that. We never get that. But never mind. The Splendid Chaps podcast is now available on its website. Is this that podcast I was getting cross about a few weeks ago?
Probably. Yes, it is.
Right, not mentioning it then. No, I'm not mentioning that.
Can I just say that I listened to the first two episodes. They were pretty good.
Reese!
Oh, wait.
What are you doing?
Wait. It's hosted by a creator of a TV show which is filled with sci-fi fans. It's kind of like an Australian version of The Big Bang Theory.
They have an unfair advantage, Reese.
But I tweeted about the show on my Who Is A Man podcast account, and the creator of that show retweeted it.
Well, tell them to retweet the 20 megabyte podcast, otherwise I won't forgive them for having an unfair advantage on every other podcast in the world.
Well, how about you tweet to them, then?
No. I'm sulking.
Yeah.
What?
Well, you sulk, you get what you deserve.
Okay. Whowon.co.uk is a great place to buy stuff. But unfortunately, they haven't updated. Yeah, they haven't actually updated what's coming up on their page, because it's very much the same as it was last week. So if you want to know what's on whowon.co.uk website that's up and coming and newly available, then listen to last week's show, because that's where I mentioned it all. And I feel a bit silly for trying to mention exactly the same things twice, but they have got a lot of good stuff there. Books, they are very good. If you like Doctor Who books, I really would suggest looking on the whowon.co.uk website, because they've got loads and loads of good Doctor Who books. I mean, physical books rather than digital ones you can download.
Yes.
So yeah, go there. Graphic
well,
books.
Well, it's a bit hard to download physical books, though, isn't it?
No, you can download them, things
be
like them.
A transmat.
Yeah,
you can print them out a page at a time and then staple them together, I guess.
Well, you've got graphic books, you've got new series tie-in books, classic series factual books, Big Finish short trip books. I was unaware that Big Finish had books out as well as the actual, you know, the audio dramas. So
yeah, they do some Blake Seven ones too, don't
yeah.
they?
New series books, classic series books, missing adventures books, and new adventures books. So there's loads and loads of brand new books you can get from whowon.co.uk, and I think that's what they specialise in.
Now, because Mary's not here, is that from who.co.who?
Probably. Oh, dear. Yeah, I think that's about it, really. I can't... Because see if we actually moved up in the iTunes listings. Oh, we're going to mention our new member, weren't we? The 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. We have a new member, Missy. Oh dear. Reese, how do you say that?
Which one?
Missy.
The new one.
Duchesnau.
Don't ask me. I'm just as bad with names as you are.
We'll just call her Missy for short.
Stop.
You know who you are, Missy. Tell us how to pronounce your name. Send in
your
feedback.
Yeah, send in some feedback and then we'll try and pronounce your name properly. Will you shut up flapping your ears?
Sorry.
Now she's trying to look all friendly by scratching my shin. We had a good episode. Yeah, so thank you, Missy, for joining the Facebook group. And, of course, if you want to join our Facebook group, please do so. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group. And then you can do what all the others did this week and send us some feedback to 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. com. What is that a feedback address, everybody?
Female.
Oh, God. I'll do it again myself then. 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. That's where you can send in your messages for probably the first and last time. 20mb. You remember last week I was trying to remember people that used to send feedback into the show. There's one major one that I forgot. Somebody called Graham Sheridan. Whatever happened to him?
Oh, yes.
Reese will know.
He's moving at the moment, apparently.
He is, yes.
I get very moved when I hear his show. No, I'm not joking.
To us anymore.
We get plenty of listeners.
Right. Right, so like I say, next week, 150. Looking forward to it, especially if Daphne comes on the show. If she doesn't come on the show, it was worth a try. So lots of stuff to watch and listen to next week. And hopefully Mary will be back as well. I can guarantee Alicia won't be on the show. She's...
Guarantee.
Hang on, the dog's just knocking me in the microphone. No, she won't be on. Alicia will not be on the show. She is... I am not very popular in her books. So I am...
What have you done now?
I've told her off a few times for doing some things that she shouldn't be doing, like when she says, can I go on this sleepover, and you say no, and she goes and does it anyway. That's one of the milder things she's done.
You control your
I heard from her then. Boss. I heard from her boss, in fact, that on New Year's Day, when they were really, really busy, she spent her day just texting when they were busy, and he had to tell her off. I mean, that probably won't surprise a lot of long-term listeners to the show, especially to our earlier episodes, when all you could hear in the background was her texting.
Yes. Click, 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 click.
Yeah. But there you go. Hopefully one day, I've already primed Isabella for her joining the show in about a year and a half's time. So that's something to look forward to. I don't know if she'll enjoy it, but I certainly enjoy having about 4 or 5 years of Isabella on the show before she turns into Alicia.
Oh no, she's metamorphosing into Alicia.
Yeah, I'm hoping by then that Alicia will have turned into a normal human being.
It might be different.
It will be different because it will be Isabella, but she will become a teenager at some point. Alicia will
the same.
Well, true, but also Alicia will not be a teenager.
I've got three, remember. They're quite fucking mad. Different.
Did you swear then, Reese? Barking mad, didn't you say?
It sounded like, didn't it?
What?
Did you say barking mad, Reese? Because it didn't quite sound like that. He's got all quiet now. Reese, hello.
What?
Anyway, I've got stuff to do. I've got to write a letter to Barclaycard, who, when the Peter Andre concert was cancelled, decided to send us a refund. No, they sent us a refund and bounced the checks. HMV, this is. So now I've got a... fortunately, they were bought via Barclaycard, so I've got a claim for them.
Aren't
via
HMV closing down?
Are they what?
HMV, are they closing down?
Not at the moment, no, but we don't get our refund because they're still in administration, etc., etc. But... we're going to try and go down the claiming through the Barclaycard route of getting our money back. So I've got to write all the paraphernalia for that, which, according to Deb, is more important than doing a 20-megabyte podcast on Doctor Who. So until next week, please tune in again next week where we'll be talking about some stuff. Like, for instance...
Like what?
Dreamland? Dreamland. The Doctor Who TV movie, hopefully. Not in a great... We're not going to review the TV movie. We're just going to refresh it so we know what we're talking about in relation to Daphne. And that will be it. So, thank you, and I hope... what?
No, carry on.
I was going to say that Reese and Robert's podcasting marathon comes to an end. Yes. So, are you going to...
Yes.
I hope you're going to be there
Big Farts Incorporated.
Oh, I have not farted once during this episode. Thank you very much. God's sake.
And goodbye from me.
Yes, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Doctor Who podcast is an APB Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.